When we listen to the parables of our blessed Lord, there is a pattern in almost all of them, and that is that there is a twist of some sort that doesn't make any sense. And it's just to kind of shock us, to make us recognize what it is that's going on. So in this one, the obvious point is it's after midnight. And these five wise virgins say to the five foolish virgins, well, go and buy some oil for yourself. Like, the store's not going to be open. It's midnight. But that's the whole point. You're not going to be able to do this. You can't just buy your way into heaven. And you're not going to be able to go at the last second and think that you're going to get what's necessary. And so on the one hand, you look at it and it's a rather shocking point, and you say, well, that doesn't even make sense. Why would they be going at midnight to buy some oil? Till you look at it from the other side of it and recognize that if we don't have what's necessary to be able to get through things, we're not going to be able to pick it up at the last second. It's unfortunately human nature, but it doesn't work when it comes to salvation. Remember back around the year, 1999, as we were coming into 2000, all of a sudden, there were lots and lots of people who became really pious. And as soon as January 1st came along, well, cartoons were more important anyway, and so we don't need to go to church. We don't need to pay attention. We don't need to really work at this. Or even the classes that I teach. Normally, I average about 70 people per class, except in the fall of 1999. We had 150. It doubled in size because people thought that the world might be coming to an end, so they better take their faith seriously. They better get with it. It's like, if we're not working at this now, the day is going to come when the Lord is going to say, I tell you, I don't know you. In other words, I mean, again, that's another part of the twist in this whole thing. The virgins in this case, if you put it into a modern context, would be called the maids of honor, or the bridesmaids. Obviously, a bride isn't just going to ask just anyone that she finds along the street. She knows them. They're her friends. And yet at the same time, when they show up, they say, I tell you, I don't know you. So again, it's putting a twist in there to be able to make us stop and go, what's going on? If you're not a friend of Jesus, now, don't think you're suddenly going to become his fair weather friend when things are crunch time. And on top of that, we also have to look at human nature. And we look at, as things get more difficult, do people pray? Or do they get angry at God and walk away? Most of them get angry and walk away. So even the idea that at midnight when we're getting drowsy and falling asleep in the faith and everything else, to think that suddenly we're going to just wake up and now we're going to take the faith seriously and now we're going to be with Jesus and we're not going to walk away from him, it's going to be just the opposite. It's going to be like the foolish virgins who didn't have what was necessary. They had to go someplace else to try and find it. And when they come back, the door's going to be closed. He's going to say, I tell you, I don't know you. You haven't been my friend for all these years. And to come and knock on the door now and say, don't you remember me? I'm your friend. He's going to say, from where? When? How? So work at it now. Be his friend. Develop your prayer life. Work hard at trying to seek union with Christ. because just like those wise virgins, thankfully they had some extra oil because the oil that was in the lamp was going out. So remember what Jesus talked about at the time when he will return. Will he find any faith on earth? And then he talked about a little flock, and he talked about a small remnant. And we'd all like in our pride to be able to say, well, I'm part of that. I'm going to be part of that small remnant. I'm going to be part of the little flock. You sure? How? Just because you decided you're going to be? If you decide you're going to be part of the flock of Jesus, then it's going to require a few things. First and foremost, humility. We can't do it by ourselves. We're too weak, we're too broken, and the things that are coming are way too big. We can't handle this alone. Number two, it's going to require a pretty intense prayer life. How are we going to be dependent on Him if we think we can do it ourselves? If we think we've got everything it takes, I've got enough oil in this lamp, no problem for me. The lamp's going to go out, and we're going to be in the dark. So we need to be working now at the prayer life, getting things in place. Not simply because things are going to get tough and I got to save my skin. Well, I mean, even if you do it for that reason, that's a totally self-centered reason, but at least you'll be starting to pray. Do it because you love Jesus. In other words, be His friend. Look at the friendships that you have. Are you somebody's friend because of what you can get from them? Or are you somebody's friend because you love the person and that person loves you? And yes, you gain a lot from a friendship, but you also give to that friendship. So if we're going to be friends of Jesus, number one, it has to be ultimately because of Him, because we love Him. Yes, He loves us, and yes, we will gain a great deal out of it, but it's not to save our own hide. It's to be united with Him. Again, think about it for a minute. Why would you want to spend eternity with somebody that you don't love? You could ask the same question even on the natural level. Why would you marry somebody that you don't love? So you can be miserable for the rest of your life? Is that what we want for eternity? If all we're thinking about is ourselves, now there's another place where that's what everybody does. That's all they do is think about themselves. Put the focus where it belongs, on the Lord. We're here to love Him. We're here to serve Him. We're here to grow in union with Him. That's what this opportunity is. And that's what we all want to be able to focus on. So if you already have a prayer life, praise God. But now the question is, can you make it even better? Can you get even more focused? Can you love the Lord even more? Doesn't even necessarily have to be, can I add more to it? Can be. I mean, if your prayer life is that you do a morning offering, that's a good thing, but you need to do a whole lot more than that. Yeah, if that's what you're doing, you need to add a lot. If you're already doing a couple of hours of prayer every day, maybe you don't have to add much to it. But can you get more focused? Can you love more? That's where we have to look at it. Is it about me or is it about Him? Why am I going to prayer? What am I doing at prayer? Do I complain and whine when it's dry and dark and there are no consolations? Well, then it's about me, isn't it? If I'm there to love Him, then praise God, He's giving me the opportunity to love Him even more because it's dry and dark and there are no consolations. See, we can look at those kinds of things and ask, why am I doing this? Ultimately, the reason, and the prayer, like anything, starts out selfishly, but it needs to be purified. So that's what we have an opportunity now to do. Really look at purifying this. Get it focused where it belongs. Get the self out of the way so that we can get to the point where we're truly saying, I am here to love Jesus. I'm here for the love of God. God is here to love me. I don't have to worry about his half of it. I just need to worry about my half. And I have to be here to love him. And if that's what we're doing, then we won't have to worry about our lamp going out. Then we won't have to worry about not being recognized on the day of judgment, because he's accustomed to seeing us. He's accustomed to talking to us. He's accustomed to being loved by us and therefore loving us. And then he can say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into your master's rest. But if we're going just as a gimme, 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 gimme kind of thing, what can I get out of this? It's all about me. He's going to say, I don't know who you are because you didn't love me. Remember, that's the greatest commandment in the law. Love God with your whole heart and soul and strength. So that's what this is really all about. So what a glorious opportunity we're being given right now. It's starting to get toward crunch time. It's not there yet, but we got a little bit of time. So don't do it to save your own skin. Do it for the right reason. Do the right thing for the right reason. Develop the prayer life because you love Jesus.